Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk politics. It's Hardline on WBEN. Now, WBEN's David Bellavia.
Welcome back to Hardline. We've got Michael Caputo in studio. Grandpa, that one over there, if you could. There we go. We're just doing some last second. Caputo's all dressed up in what appears to be a zoot suit. From he looks like an understudy to Nathan Detroit and Guys and Dolls right now. That's what it is. Now, Michael Caputo joins us just fresh off a CNN appearance. Dr. Jacob Neuheisel here from the University of Buffalo, Office of Political Science. Mr. Caputo, how would you rate your last 72 hours?
Boy, that's the toughest question I've had for 72 hours.
That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Overwhelming. Maybe the biggest 72 hours of my life since my children were born, each one of them. You know, you can't do better than that. I don't even know what's next for my family. It's really amazing. That's a good question.
So when you consider, you know, people think, well, you got thrown into a mix. You got a lawyer bill. This just one time you pay the attorney, and now Mueller's gone and everything's back to normal.
No, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, what comes with that is that there is a radioactive nature that comes around when you're nationally known for conspiring with an enemy
right.
against your own country. This is not something that goes away. There's no refund. You don't get a receipt that you go back to the Department of Justice and say, could I have that? Can I have my honor back that Robert Mueller borrowed?
It's not just, I mean, there are, I think, 50 people who have been through this, maybe 48. The vast majority of them witnesses, all of them probably with families. I think Carter Page doesn't have a family, but he doesn't seem to have the time for it. But, the moment that my wife became a citizen on February 20th of 2017, we had just witnessed the inauguration of the president that I worked for. She was happy. I was so happy. I remember posting pictures of her citizenship event on Facebook. 1 month later, on March 20th, in the United States House of Representatives Committee on Intelligence, open hearing with James Comey, James Comey was asked about my wife. And if he thought she was a spy, 30 days after she became a citizen of this country. Now, not in so many words, Representative Jackie Spear, I call her Representative Jackie Smear. Within 10 days, I was in touch with Dennis Vacco and Lippis Mathis. Initially, I thought I was going to go after them for slandering my wife. It's one thing to go after somebody who works for the worked for the President of the United States, a staffer. I kind of sign up for that. My wife begged me not to get involved with Donald Trump. Begged me. When I met my wife, we were working on a campaign in Ukraine, and our campaign manager was murdered. And I promised my wife when I asked her to marry me that I would get out of politics because it was a deadly business. And when Donald Trump said, become my New York State primary director, my wife begged me not to get involved. And there she was in the United States House of Representatives Intelligence Committee in front of James Comey being asked by a congresswoman from California if she was some kind of spy.
And her crime being that she wasn't born in the United States.
And she married me.
Right.
You know, who happened to know Donald Trump.
And so,
I, by the way, I was sent to Russia in 1994 by Bill Clinton's administration to meddle in their elections.
For Boris Yeltsin.
Right.
And again,
7 years I was there on behalf of my country, and The irony's not lost on me.
So I'm just trying to put this in perspective here. We now know no indictments are coming. Here's what we do know, though. There is going to be Michael Horowitz, and the Inspector General is out there. He's looking into FISA court abuses. He's looking into, you know, we have a director of the FBI in James Comey who decides to leak notes taken from the President of the United States for the sole purpose of getting a special prosecutor in Robert Mueller. Now we find out nothing has come of that. But you can't. You might not be able to indict a president. I'm sure that's a debate for the courts. Most people will say
policy,
you can't.
It's policy, but it's not law.
But you certainly can indict Don Jr.
You can.
You could certainly indict Michael Caputo.
Jared Kushner.
You could indict everyone else that was thrown into this group. None of that's happening. I'll tell you what, though. Michael Horowitz is going to indict some people.
He is. And you know, I've Dennis Vacco at Lippis Meth and I, we've been together now for 2 years, you know. In a lot of ways, I've spent more time with Dennis Vacco than I have you, David, and you're a very dear friend of mine. Dennis and I have traveled to Washington together. He's traveled by himself on my behalf to Washington to meet with people at the highest level of classified clearances, to get locked into a skiff, which is one of those ultra-secret rooms. Radio waves and telephones can't work in there, to go in there to review my testimony, which they will not release. We have complained about to the Inspector General and to others in the Department of Justice about a violent Russian criminal who, at the end of May, in jail for 13 years, end of May 2016, comes to me and offers me information about Hillary Clinton. And I deflected him off to Roger Stone because I was at the convention going to the convention at that time. Come to find out, he's an FBI informant for 17 years on the payroll of the FBI with an FBI informant visa. I've reported that to the IG's office, and I'm only one person. I don't know how many other people reported things. There is something seriously wrong here, Dave. My phone on Friday evening started working. It's like somebody left. My phone was rebooting randomly for 2 years. Calls would go straight to voicemail. Emails wouldn't come in for hours. Texts wouldn't come in for hours. My phone was malfunctioning for over 2 years. And then Friday, it started working again.
So I can text you again.
Yeah, you can. All right. I mean, this is very serious stuff.
No, but listen, though. This is the exact MO that happened to Papadopoulos.
No doubt.
You had a guy in a bar leaking a story, speaking loud. Mm-hmm. He heard it. They even brought in a woman in his situation. Alcohol, all of a sudden. Tell me what you just heard. They now use someone to troll and try to get information out of you that they gave you. This idea of, we know money laundering, right? Anyone that studies the mafia, anyone that studies El Chapo, you understand the fact that you take money illegally, you try to put it through a righteous business, a legal business, and you launder that money. These guys were intelligence laundering.
They were.
And that is absolutely, I don't know how the FBI recovers. There's a lot of great people in the FBI, locally,
here,
nationally.
In Buffalo,
we've
have
got
great
honorable
FBI.
Men and women who would do anything to keep us safe. But this reputation is something that we're not going to recover from.
It's amazing to me that the reason why George Papadopoulos went to jail, the reason why he pled guilty to a felony, they asked him a question. When did you tell Alexander Downer, the Australian diplomat we sent to you as a spy, as an informant, when did you tell Alexander Downer about Hillary Clinton's emails being in Russian hands? Was it before you joined the campaign or after you joined the campaign? And he said, by the way, without an attorney. They grabbed him without an attorney, sat down for hours with them in the airport and told him this answer. He said, I don't know. It was before the campaign. And they said, wrong. You told them after you were appointed, but before your appointment was made public, so you lied. And in that room, He admitted to violating the 1001 violation against lying against the FBI. That's a felony right there. He admitted to a felony in the airport. He'd just gotten off a plane. They grabbed him in line at passport control, sat him down surrounded by FBI agents, and he didn't have an attorney, and he made that mistake. 14 days in jail, felony on his life, right? You know the difference between me and George Papadopoulos? Dennis Vacco. Because they pulled that on me in my interrogation on May 2nd in 2018. They did the same thing about this Russian FBI informant that was sent to me from Florida. I was on the phone with him for 2 minutes. And Dennis asked me before I went in that meeting, did anyone ever step on your shoe, you know, bump into your bumper? Any Russian at all? You got to remember everything. And I said, well, I got this 2-minute phone call. And Dennis said, that's it. Dude, they sent him to you. You better reply with that information to them. So when they asked me, did any Russian ever bump into you and offer you anything at all? I said, yes. This man named Henry Greenberg in Florida called me. I was on the phone with him for 2 minutes, and I told him the story. And my interrogator's face fell like a cake. And the interview was cut short. It was supposed to be 6 hours long. Me and Dennis were out of there in 3 hours, 12 minutes, and 27 seconds. Right? They cut it short. You know why? Because Dennis Vacco walked me through that minefield. Poor George Papadopoulos got asked a simple question, answered it wrong, and he admitted to a felony. Right? Dennis Vacco, this prosecutor came at me and he said, Mr. Caputo, when did this conversation happen? I said, I think it was second week of June. That was what it was. Second week of June 2016. Why? I told him why. He said, well, Mr. Caputo, would it matter to you if I told you that it happened May 29th, 2016? I looked at him and I said, still not getting it. You know, I look at Vacco and he's got this look in his eye like, this is it, dude. And I said, I don't know. I feel like it might be June. And this guy stood up. He was short. It was hard to tell that he stood up, right? But he stood up and he looked at me and he pointed at me. He said, Mr. Caputo, I think. And just before he could get out of his mouth the words, you've lied about the date you did this. It's a 1001 violation. It's a felony. Dennis Vacco said, gentlemen, let's take a break for a second. It was like calling time out during the kick of an extra point. Right at the moment of the, you know what I mean? That's what Dennis did. Those guys left the room. Dennis sat me down, asked me a few questions. They came back in the room, and they never got that out of their mouths. The difference between me and George Papadopoulos is Dennis Vacco and Lippis Mathis. And I paid them, and they're worth every penny. I had them on retainer for 2 years. It isn't like you said before, oh, you go interview, you hire a guy for an hour and he leaves. Take your brother. He's a real estate attorney. He'll be helpful, right? If you don't have somebody who is a government white-collar crime expert, and Dennis Vacco was our attorney general and our Western District U.S. attorney here in New York. He knows everything there is to know about government white-collar crime. If you don't have somebody like that sitting next to you as a witness, you're George Papadopoulos, and your life is ruined.
Well, you're Michael Flynn.
Right.
Michael Flynn, in that case, he's...
Same exact thing.
Hey, let's talk on a sidebar, one-on-one, don't need an attorney. We're just going to put this to bed right now, and what happens? You lied to an FBI. And what was that lie based on? What was the date? Did you talk to this guy while you were with the campaign, before you were told you were going to be the NSA? All of those things added up, and now this guy's reputation is... I mean, he served his country for 35 years.
And he had nobody there to blow the whistle for him.
Single-handedly rewrote the intelligence military apparatus of how we glean intelligence. Michael Flynn was responsible for the retina database that we keep on terrorists right now. We scan their eyes and we know instantly who they are, what they've been processed through. Given tremendous amounts to the war on terror and our nation. That's not his...
We were supposed to be looking for collusion with Russia.
Yeah.
No, we were supposed to be looking for... You know what? You're absolutely right,
David. We're not looking for collusion.
That's the truth right there. Yeah. This has never been about collusion.
I got
or
collusion. I got collusion with Russia. It's when you take intelligence from CNN iReport, which by the way is so credible, CNN doesn't even put it on their website anymore.
Right.
You're basically taking what did you hear happen? I mean, local affiliates do this all the time. If you've got news of a traffic accident, CNN unconfirmed, unverified, not homogenized news, and you throw it up on a website. This guy is going through. Dr. Neuheisel, if a term paper came to you on Wikipedia, would you take it?
Probably not.
No. Probably not. The University of Buffalo has higher standards than the FISA court did.
Right.
And then there was misleading. There was, again, laundering information. We saw this with Hillary in her emails.
Yeah.
She would take information from her buddy, Sidney Blumenthal. She would throw it on CIA letterhead. Yeah. And send it to the President of the United States about what was going on in Libya. This is a mode of operandi. But now we have no indictments. We have a Mueller report. The Democrats know this Mueller report was never supposed to be public because why? It took innocent people accused of a felony and they didn't have enough to actually convict them on a felony. But now you want those people to be, their lives to be destroyed because the government
didn't
have enough?
Every one of us. My business is destroyed. Carter Page is unemployed. J.D. Gordon is unemployed. I could go through the list of them, but most of those people don't want their names used.
Well, because if I hire you now as a consultant, what are you? You're the guy that colluded with Russia.
Right. Because it doesn't matter that I was a witness the whole time. It doesn't matter that I was never a target. It doesn't matter for a second that no collusion was found. And there was no obstruction. The fact of the matter is, to a small cabal, a proggy little leftist here in Buffalo and across the country, I'm the guy who colluded with Russia. I served my country in the United States Army. I served in the United States Congress. I served overseas for my country as a civilian. I am about as patriot gets. And I surround myself with patriots. And when I hear a proggy little leftist out of Elmwood Avenue calling me a traitor, someone who never served their country? See, that's what I have to deal with from now forward. There is no office in the Capitol, the National Office of Reputation Restoral. It doesn't exist. I don't get the money back that I've lost. It isn't just the funds that I paid to my attorneys, which I raised through the generosity of a lot of people listening today. It isn't just that. And Vaco and Lippis Mathis were worth every single penny. Because in that room, when I was sitting in Patriots Plaza, sitting in front of two FBI agents and a prosecutor, they had handcuffs. They wanted to take me away. They wanted to trap me in a lie about a date, right? So they could say, okay, Mr. Caputo, you have now committed a felony. Your cousin, the lawyer, your divorce lawyer, didn't manage to stop us as we were winding you up. So now you need to turn evidence against President of the United States, or we're going to prosecute. You saw they gave a draft document to Corsi. Here's the indictment we're going to bring down on you if you don't lie about Roger Stone and the president, right? And here's the thing, Professor, I was a student at UB. I graduated from UB in 1986. I graduated, I studied political science there. Every single one of your students could be sitting right where I am today. Because the biggest mistake they could make is to get involved in politics. It is blood sport. It is blood sport. Not only did I almost go to jail for nothing, not only did I lose 2 years of my life for nothing, not only did this investigation crush my children for nothing, not only did this turn my wife in 30 days from a new citizen to someone who regretted being here, now I can't even really start over again because some silly little leftist who doesn't take showers down on Elmwood is busy talking about how Michael Caputo is a traitor. Where do I get that to stop? How do I get that to stop?
Well, listen, we're going to talk about that and so much more, especially about the people that don't shower in Elmwood. I'd like to know who they are. But, Michael...
swing a dead cat, you'll hit one.
We're going to talk more with Michael Caputo. We're going to take a break. 803-0930, Republican line, 644-9875, the Democratic line. More with Michael Caputo, talking about the Mueller report. This is just riveting radio. Hopefully it is for you. Back after this on Hardline. Welcome back to Hardline. We want to get as much in as we can. We've got Michael Caputo in here, fresh off of an interview he just did with CNN. Dr. Jacob Neuheisel from the University of Buffalo. we just kind of went through the private emotional drain that this took with this Mueller investigation. Now that it's over, we now know that Attorney General William Barr is at the Department of Justice. Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, he's there as well. We anticipate there to be some sort of summary of the Mueller report, not the actual Mueller report, that will be briefed to members of the House and the Senate. And then it has been leaked that we, the American people, will see that executive summary when it's ready to be seen. But Dr. Neuheisel, what do you think?
I just wanted to ask Mr. Caputo, since I'm sort of the guy who has the view from 10,000 feet. I'm not
the stunt brain.
Yeah,
that's what
you will. I'm not much into the individual players involved in minutia, but simple question: what's next?
Oh wow!
Not necessarily for you, but how do you see this unfolding?
I think we're gonna get no matter what is said. And no matter what you believe, if you're for Trump, against him, if you're for Rachel Maddow keeping her job or against her, there's going to be things in this report that are not good for Donald Trump. There are. It's just a matter of fact. There are people who are indicted around him that are close enough to him to get some splash on him. Paul Manafort, campaign chairman, right? Rick Gates, a deputy chairman of the inaugural and campaign manager of his campaign for months. There are going to be things, and they're going to have a bad day, but it is nowhere near the day that they were that everybody was promised. Not even 4% of the terrible things that everybody was praying for on the progressive leftist side of the barrel, the never Trump side of the Republican barrel. And the Democrats, if you've watched the pivot in the last 24 hours, they are – it's just the beginning, right? The Nadler investigation sent me and 80 other people letters asking for documents and inviting us to go testify. They're going to continue this on the Democratic side. And I think it's a huge mistake because there's real investigation fatigue, Russia investigation fatigue. I could see where the Democrats could get away with investigating Don Jr. or something the president's, let's say the president's tax forms or, his purchase of the Buffalo Bills. I could see that kind of stuff not being fitting into the investigation fatigue box. Investigations will continue. They're foolish to continue with Russia. They're foolish. And it's also House intelligence. So what we have here is an opportunity right now for the president and the Republican Party to adopt a message and put it out there on every single communications platform on the planet with every single communicator that they have working for them. Everything. Twitter, Facebook, surrogate speeches, TV, radio, print. The president on the road giving speeches in 4 different cities. The vice president, 4 different cities. Onslaught, like the last 10 days of the election. If it were Ronald Reagan, that's what we'd be doing right now. The Republicans taking this and saying this very simple message. You arrayed, through questionable means and even criminal means, arrayed the most bruising, brutal, and talented investigators in America in a group, in a special prosecutor's office that is the strongest prosecution investigation group that has been put together since then the 21st century. And you came up with nothing. And you wasted $40 million of American taxpayers' money. And you ruined 50 lives. And you tied my hands on my agenda. Well, right now, we're going to get things done. It's over. We're going for infrastructure. We're going for the wall. We're going for more trade deals. We're going full force to get a peace treaty with North Korea. Get on top of these issues and hammer them into the ground. And it's not going to happen that way. We'll get some tweets and some communications. But if Ronald Reagan were in this seat, and he was, remember, in Iran-Contra.
Not nowhere in the stratosphere.
This is the biggest scandal in American presidential history.
Yeah, no, this is a little bit bigger than Iran-Contra in the sense that there was smoke with Iran-Contra.
Right.
There was definitely an arms exchange. There was definitely hostages. This was based on a Wikipedia entry by someone with Cheetos on their fingers in their basement. I mean, there was no evidence whatsoever that any of this ever took place.
How do you teach this? How do you teach this at
how
the
do
University
you live
of
with yourself, Dr. Trigger?
No, no, but I mean Seth Abramson, a professor up in the University of New Hampshire, teaches a course called Russian Collusion. When if it didn't exist, do they get to have to give those credit hours back?
I don't know. To be honest, I try to be pretty even-handed, and in most of my classes, I haven't taught the campaigns and elections course yet. It doesn't come up, or we mention it obliquely, because I have no private information surrounding this. Again, I'm the 10,000 feet guy. I look at the different narratives that are out there. I look at the different players. That's really the level at which I try to run my classes. It's about strategy. It's about narrative. It's about framing. That's about it.
But how does this affect the philosophy of politics? I mean, in my mind, I've been doing this for 30 years. I will never work on a national a campaign again unless they legally indemnify me, and they won't do that. I won't. And I know we ended the last segment with me saying all your political science people should never go into politics. See, I don't agree with that. I think that that's the most important thing that I've taken out of this, and it's a real shame.
I think how I try to do it is there's never a golden age in American politics. We can go pretty far back and see it was always really hard-nosed. There are examples of this going way back. I mean, just think of the election surrounding Jefferson. Politics was always nasty. It was always in the dirt. And we're deluding ourselves if we think there was some golden era of public discourse. Maybe it existed briefly in the 50s when you had some weird stuff going on with the parties not being aligned in terms of ideology. But for the most part, politics has been nasty. And I hope most students are coming in with the blinders off, and then we get them into experiential learning opportunities, and they see it for themselves, and they still want to do it. And
but I'll tell you what,
idealistic.
What the lesson here is that there will never be another outsider from D.C. that is the president of the United States again. Right. There will never be another Donald J. Trump.
That's the whole point.
Because they have set the gauntlet down. Mr. Starbucks guy, enjoy your coffee. Right. You're not getting anywhere near the White House. The next five presidents of the United States will be people from the swamp, from D.C., Republican, Democrat, in between. We're never giving the keys of this much power to someone that's not beholden to either a party apparatus or at least has cut their teeth understanding.
And I've been saying that all along.
That's what this is.
This is about destroying the president of the United States. This is about destroying his family. This is about destroying his businesses. This is about destroying his friends who helped get him elected president, which is the jackpot I find myself in. Because this can never, ever happen again. There has to be a crater where we once all stood. Because in 7 to 10 years, when another billionaire wakes up and he turns to his model wife and says, "Honey, my country is broken and only I can fix it," she must say the following. Are you kidding me? Do you see what they did to Donald Trump, his family, his businesses, his friends? There is no way you're doing this. You lay right back down.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got a lot of people on hold. Let's just take a few calls here. David in Lockport, you've been very patient. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, I didn't think I'd get on with, what you got in the studio there. But I don't even know where to start at this point after this. You know, I called up when Tony was being an idiot talking about how Putin wants Trump in the White House so that Trump can rebuild our military and make us energy independent, because that's what Putin and the Russians always wanted, was us to be stronger and energy independent. And this is the kind of ignorance compounded with arrogance that the left party, the leftist Marxist party, is filling with hate. And I'll tell you, if I see some moron in a black mask coming at me with anything, I'll make a canoe out of his head. They're doing scorched earth policy. They will not take yes for an answer or no for an answer. And we have been watching our side being attacked for 2 years with nothing but BS, while added to the frustration of Clinton, Hillary on down, not being touched, including Obama and that broad-beam attorney general that he had that's right in the middle of all of this. And we are sick and freaking tired of not seeing any indictments of the Democrats or the, like, Comeys that say they're a Republican. They're traitors. And instead of Hillary, if I was as guilty as Hillary, I would shut the hell up and go enjoy my $145 million I got from the Russians for selling our uranium. But no.
That $145 million doesn't go as far as it used to, you know.
David, excellent call. I got a ton of people on hold, but I appreciate David. You know, the other thing is that if you watch CNN's programming, they've got a love letter to the Bush legacy, the Bush family, this documentary running around. Bush, I mean, we just celebrated. We just passed the anniversary of the start of the Iraq War. George W. Bush is not nearly the pariah that he used to be because now there's someone new that you could beat up. Now Dick Nixon, they've got a Richard Nixon documentary on CNN, and you almost feel bad for the guy. During Watergate, and it's like there, we go back and look at the enemies of the big, bad, horrible Republican conservative icons, and now Trump has just become the largest pinata that everyone could take a whack at.
Presidential evaluations are an interesting thing when you update them almost in real time, right? George W. Bush is kind of lovable now. His evaluations are actually going up among experts and among the American public, going way back. We suddenly like President Grant now, even though he had a fairly corrupt administration. And then Johnson, even though he was this close to impeachment, wow, that was the right thing to do. That was moral. And we kind of cut out the part that it was pure politics. And so anyone who wants to say that these things aren't in flux, that's just the nature of the times.
You know, the other takeaway, too, is that when you look at, Jimmy Carter is – the oldest living president in the history of the Republic. And yet we look at his career and we think Habitat for the Humanity, none of these
not
things.
Not stagflation.
Yeah, none of these things he did as president. It's the man he was after the malaise ended.
Right.
But it's just crazy. Let's go to Lou in Amherst. You're on with Michael Caputo and Dr. Jacob Neuheisel. Go ahead, Lou. Lou, you there? Oh, I hate that radio thing. You always got to tune down. John of Rochester has been patiently waiting. You had a question for Caputo.
Hey, Mike. Listen, you said you probably won't do any more national political stuff or maybe even regional stuff. But I'll tell you, you showed me that you got guts, man. You're like Trump. You're fighting for your life, but on the other hand, you're a strong individual, and I admire that. And I think a lot of people are going to want to hire you. But I wanted to ask you about that Skolkova thing that the Clintons got involved with, and could you give the audience some detail on that?
On the
corruption that happened right around when Bill got paid for that speech after the uranium deal.
Oh, I actually happen to know a lot about uranium one. I used to be director of communications for the Russian bank that paid Bill Clinton $500,000 to make that speech. Renaissance Capital is the name of it. I was director of communications for that bank when I lived in Moscow and for a couple of years after I left. So I left in that bank in 2002, and that speech was 2011, I think. Anyway, maybe a little bit after that. But I can tell you what happened to Bill Clinton because I worked at the bank. The bank gets a call from the Kremlin because if you aren't hanging out with the Kremlin and you're a major investment bank in Moscow, you're not in business. And they got a call from Putin's office that said, hey, offer Bill Clinton $500,000 to speak at your annual conference. And the CEO said, what? We never give any more than $250,000. That's a huge amount of money. Just do it. And they did it. Bill Clinton got that money advanced to him via wire before he even opened his mouth. All right? And so is it unusual? Absolutely. Was it a Kremlin payment? Absolutely. Through the fingers of investment bankers that owed their whole entire livelihood to the Kremlin. Let me fast forward for a second. All right? During the time, I'm like Forrest Gump in this whole thing. I really am. I mean, I'm in the middle of all this stuff at every angle, and I'm just short of being on the spectrum, I swear to God. And so during the time, my PR firm, before I lost it, We did a lot of different communications projects, including crisis communications and merger and acquisition communications. We specialized in mergers that were being watched by the United States Committee on Foreign Investment. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. We call it CFIUS. I won't get into too much detail. But the CFIUS committee, which is made up of seven people from key departments of the presidential administration, they examine every acquisition of any American company that presents a national security risk. Like, for example, uranium. Right? CFIUS had to examine the Uranium One deal. At the same time Uranium One was being examined by CFIUS, I was representing a French firm called Safran, which is the largest weapons manufacturer, defense contractor in France. It's half owned by the French government. Been around since the American government has been around. 200-year-old firm. They wanted to buy a biometric firm that provided retinal scans and fingerprint scans to the American military in Iraq and Afghanistan. And in order for the French to buy that, they had to go through CFIUS approval. Okay, let me tell you what happened. CFIUS took 2 years to approve the French buying a biometric company. But CFIUS, the same group, including Hillary Clinton, took 90 days to approve the purchase of our 30-40% of our uranium supplies by the Russian government. We had a friendly government wanting to invest in a biometric company in Boston, and it took 2 years. And in the end, they bought it, but they're not allowed to talk to them. There is a wall between them. They're only allowed to take the profits. But the Russians, they can buy a large percentage of our uranium in 90 days. So did Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton sell uranium? No, they didn't. But the Obama administration did, and they did it with Hillary's approval, and her husband got $500,000 in his pocket via wire from Putin's favorite investment bank to do it. The $145 million was just cream on the cake.
There you have it, John. Appreciate your call. Lou, we got time real quick for one last question. Lou's still figuring out the phone thing. Hey,
is he snoring?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he may have passed away. We'll be praying for his family. Hey, Jacob Neuheisel, what do you think? You want to end this? What's the takeaway here? More? We're just going to be waiting for more reports. Does this play into 2020?
Oh, it absolutely plays into 2020. I think there's real risk of both sides overplaying their hands here, and it really is just going to be interesting to see what takes root, which narrative is the one that carries the day. And really, I think for 2020, for both sides, it's going to depend on the fundamentals. What's the state of the economy doing? And that's going to really determine how this is able to play.
It's the economy stupid.
The economy stupid. Yeah.
But you got to, at some point, you have to pivot. If you're going to continue to attack the president, you have to pivot to his personal finances,
right,
which are now going before he was president.
Yep.
And this, there's nothing you can do through any of the powers of the Constitution to punish him for things he's done before he was president. This whole thing is just, it's a soup sandwich.
I mean, you could probably load him up with civil suits, right? Though those are not things that the president is able to sidestep while he's president. But there's real risk in that strategy now. They were waiting on the Mueller report to be revelatory, and it's not quite what they were hoping it was going to be. And I think the longer they persist with the strategy, the more it plays into a narrative that it is a witch hunt.
Do you think he's going to be impeached?
I said from day one, I don't think he's going to be impeached. I think this is exactly what Republicans need to stay in line. And there have been articles of impeachment floating around for quite some time. I just don't see them going anywhere.
What's your
anywhere.
Favorite restaurant?
What's going on here? We can't.
Because I'll bet you right now, a dinner between me and you, we can bring our friend Dave.
Okay.
The president's going to be impeached. It is a metaphysical certitude because they are high on crack on the Democratic caucus,
no
they can't get away.
I don't think
it.
They have the horses.
I don't think they get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have the horses.
They don't have the votes.
I don't.
No, they don't have the intestinal fortitude.
Oh, I disagree.
Pelosi
loses.
She loses the party if she doesn't.
David, I have had the full power of the Democratic Party and the federal government shaped into a suppository up my backside.
I'm
for
telling
2 years.
You right now, Nancy,
I'm telling you, he's going
to
be
Nancy
be
Pelosi's
impeached.
Entire legacy and her cling to power rests on whether or not she can control her caucus. She has enough infighting going on.
Can we do
on.
A three-way bet?
It would. Yeah. It's never going to happen. As long as Pelosi is speaker, it's never going to happen. She has too much to lose. But
I'm,
we
I'm,
have to
I'm
go.
Emotionally invested. I may be a little over
we
the top.
We have
here.
To go. It's Hardline. Caputo, Neuheisel, Jake, and I will be back next week on Hardline. Meet the Press is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.